I have some I brought with me. Had on my heart for several days. I desire your prayers that the Lord will help us to deliver it. This if we practice this, will help us in any problem we have. Now, we're all going to have trouble. We're all going to have problems. The Bible said man is born of a woman a few days and full of trouble. So, you're going to have it, but there's a way out of it. And tonight, that's my burden. I've never preached on this before like this. Danced around it, you might say, but never have preached on it. So, we desire your prayers that the Lord will help us to get it out. Let's go to Zechariah, the 9th chapter, and the 9th verse. It said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Now, what I want to deal with how low will you go? All right, let's measure ourselves by Christ. Let's measure and see what God done. Let's talk about Jesus first for a little bit. And when I'm preaching on something along this line, this is the way I like to start it, if the Lord is pleased with that and burdens that away. And He says here, He said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." Listen, folks, tonight we've got something to praise God about. We've had somebody that has done something for us that nobody else done, was even capable of doing, wanted to do, but Jesus come down and made a plan of salvation for you and I that we could have something that nobody else could give us. Praise God. Nobody was interested in it, but Jesus come along and He made this plan and He made a great plan, and it's so great and so fine-tuned and so wonderful that it's perfect all the way through the ends of time. It's not something that quit at the end of the apostles or here or there, but it's good for you and I today. It will work perfect if we stand by it and work with it and do the things that the Bible teaches us to do. That very plan, the plan of salvation, and the reason it works is because Jesus come very lowly. He come in lowly. He didn't come in on a jet airplane, or He didn't come in on a chariot with big white horses or anything, but He come in on a lowly ass. And it's recorded over there in Matthew 21st chapter, talks about this. But it's in lowly and riding. Oh, today, He picked the lowliest thing that He could pick. He come in the lowliest way that He could come in, because He wanted to set an example and put in place a way for you and I to get victory when we were dealing with problems. And He wanted to lead the way in lowliness all the way down. Praise God. All right, let's go to Luke 1 and 48. Luke 1 and 48. Well, 1 and 46 of Luke. "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Father, for it regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For, behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Now tonight, Jesus didn't pick a queen to be His mother. He didn't. didn't pick a rich woman to be His mother. He picked somebody real low, real humble, real modest. Somebody that could, again, bring about what He was after. One time many years ago, when we were serving at Guthrie, as pastor there, we had a young couples gathering at Christmas time, married couples gathering, and a number of us was in a couple's house, and we were singing Christmas carols and thanking and rejoicing and so forth. And I got a vision that night. I got a vision of why Jesus done what He done. Why did He come the way He come? Why was He born the way He was born? Why did He do the things He did? I'm going to tell you why. Because He saw pride was going to be a destructive force that was going to kill and destroy many people spiritually. And so consequently, for Him to be able to get a place where He could strike at that and destroy that and to do what needed to be done, He had to be born in the most humble situation. So, He started with a mother. God chose somebody that was low, modest and humble and little. Somebody that God handpicked. Listen, He handpicked a wonderful individual that was able to do what needed to be done. Had the unction of the power of the Holy Spirit in God to back it up. And then it brought about a great birth. And that birth was very, very humble in itself. But yet it was the most acclaimed birth that's ever been of any time. Nobody's ever had angels do what God done. That night, they come upon the scene. It got their attention, praise God. The shepherds had rejoiced in what was being said because they see and they knew what was going to be done somewhere down the line. And here it come. The birth of Jesus Christ. The Savior. The Redeemer of the whole world. All right, let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and 1. No, 4 and 8. I've punished my old throat so much down through the years, it's giving me trouble anymore, so you pray for me. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gift unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it? But that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. All right, let's tie that in with Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and 5. It said here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. And He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now then, Ephesians 4 here talks about He ascended up on high. Now then, Christ, when He was set to come to make the plan, if you want to say it that way, or execute the plan of salvation, He wanted to do everything that needed to be for you and I. He did not want to be above any individual. He wanted to be down where He could deal with the lowest scum, bum, if I may put it that way, that's ever going to be out there, that's going to be wallowing in the quagmire, that's going to be in the ditches of filth and crumbliness. And so consequently, the Lord wanted to get down. So He descended all the way down to the lowest point that He needed to descend to bring about a plan that could reach anybody, praise God. And Paul said, I'm the chief of all sinners. Listen, I'm a bad old boy. I was doing this and doing that. The bottom line was Jesus died for Paul and He died for every one of us. No matter how low we got, how far down we was, Jesus is able to reach down, praise God, because He descended. He went down. He was born of a virgin. He lived the life. He died the life. And consequently, He's got a plan for you and I. But He done it because He went as low as He needed to go. How low will we go? How low did Christ go? Listen, folks, He left the place of glory. He left the throne. He left heaven. He had it all. But He wanted a plan that would deliver people up and out. Not leave them in sin, but deliver them out of sin, praise God. And turn them on the highway of holiness and do something for them that nothing else had done, praise God. So, He had to go through the death. And instead He made Himself of no reputation. Took upon Him. The bottom line is, translation on all that says He emptied Himself. He emptied Himself, praise God. He was willing to do that. He was willing to get as low as He needed to go. How low will we go? How low did He go? He went as far as needed to be. Sometimes you and I don't want to go that far, folks. Lord, help us. I don't want to throw stone. But sometimes we get to a place, I don't want to do that. But Lord, help us. If Jesus done it for you and I, should we not do it for our own soul and others too? Should we not be willing to get down as low as we need to get, even if somebody walks all over us? Praise God. All right, let's go to Matthew 11 and 28. It said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, and take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest in your souls." I'm meek and lowly. Oh, today again. Listen, Jesus has everything still in position. He didn't leave anything. He's still the same now as He was then. He's still in a position to say, "Child, you've got to get down there." I had made a mistake with a person, a man, brother. We had an intimacy between us. And I was praying one day. I was the only one in the house. The girls and Becky and the girls had all gone somewhere shopping or whatever. And I was praying. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, "You made a mistake too, child." And I literally went like this. I was on my knees and I looked up and raised both hands. I said, "Who, me? I didn't make no mistake." He said, "Oh yeah, you did too." He done what He needed to do and He was able to say, "You got to get lower, child. You've got to get lower." Listen, sometimes folks, we've got to remember Jesus went to the depths that He needed to go and He didn't stop. He went all the way down for you and I. Even to death, He humbled Himself. Unto death, even the death of the cross. Listen, folks, that was the cruelest, hardest way that He could die at that time. It wasn't by lethal injection. It wasn't by an electric chair. It wasn't by chopping block, so to speak. It was by the hardest, cruelest, meanest way that they could do a person. And He was willing to do that for you and I. Now then, what are we willing to do? Let's go to 1 Peter 2 and 21. 1 Peter 2 and 21. "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, He reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." To me, in that 23rd verse again, it looked to me like He's just getting on down. He's just being low here. When He was reviled, He reviled not again. He didn't think Himself anybody to come back against that person, but He just get on down there in the place that He needs to be. Praise God. But He said here in 21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." Now, saints, tonight, that means that we need to follow Him in the lowest place that He wants us to go. No matter what it is, what it takes, how long it takes, the bottom line is, He can say, "Go there." He can say, "Go there." We have no choice. If we're going to serve Him, live for Him, work for Him, and do whatever we do for Him, the bottom line is, we got to get on down. We got to get low. And I'm not talking about figuratively. I'm talking about in the heart. I'm talking about where it really counts, Brother Michael. Get on down there in your heart, soul, mind, and body. Get down there where it needs to be. And when you get there, the Lord will bless you. in the case where this situation I talked about a while ago, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "You made mistakes too, child." And then He began to give me Scripture, began to deal with me, tell me what to do. So at Monarch, the next Monarch, I got to a place with this brother where I was in a position where I could go to him. And I went to him. And I done everything I knew to do. I got out where I needed to be. And we got it fixed. Taken care of. And then as I walked away, the glory of God flooded my soul so much that I wanted to go back and do it again. Praise God. I'd been obedient, but He said, "You made mistakes too." Listen, anytime, folks, that we have two people, husband and wife, people in a congregation, people in a family, in a neighborhood, whatever it might be, and they get into problems, everybody will make some kind of mistake. Nobody's perfect. That's what the Lord showed me. He said, "You can't be perfect, child. You made a mistake too." Who, me? Yes, you, Carl Schaefer. You didn't do it right. Get on down there. And He let me know to do it, and I've done it by the help of the Lord, by His grace. Oh, tonight. All right, let's go to Luke 14. Luke 14. All right, now Christ, He had to leave His throne to bring about the plan, like I said, of salvation. But sometimes people have their own throne. You know anybody's got their own throne, so to speak? They're up here and everybody else is down here and they're riding high. They're riding high. No matter what comes, it's the other person's fault or this and fault or that. Not mine, I didn't do it. I'm on my little throne. If we're going to get the help to people that we're going to get, we got to get off of our throne, folks. Jesus left His throne to come down here and to be with you and I and to do what needed to be. And you and I are going to have to get out just like Christ. We're going to have to descend, so to speak, get lowly where the Lord can work with us and bless them and work through us, praise God. People can't see it if we don't do it. Amen. They can't see it if you and I don't do it, so we got to do it. We got to get lowly. We got to get lowly. All right, are you on a throne in your mind tonight? All right, 14 and 8 of Luke, I believe what I called. 14 and 7. And He put forth the parable to those which were bidden, when He marked how they chose out the chief room, saying unto them, "When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go, sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sat at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." All right, 1 Peter 5 and 6, if I'm not mistaken, says, "Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time." All right, now then Luke here it says, now it talks about a room, but what the commentators make the statement is that this is talking about a table. And you're going to a table for a meal and go to the lowest spot or the furthest away from the head guy, so to speak. Get to the humble spot. Get there. Don't come to the main spot, but go to the lowest spot. And then that man, the chief, the king, the leader, whatever, then he can say, "Come on up here." And when you go to the lowest place and get down there where you need to be to start with, then as that one brings it up, everybody's sitting around. Appreciates that. Admires that. Takes note of that. David Rockefeller, well, the Rockefeller family owned Chase Manhattan Bank, along with other things. And so it come time that David Rockefeller let it be known, "I would like to run and operate and be the head honcho of Chase Manhattan Bank." So what did David do? Did he come in there one day and he said, "I'm David Rockefeller. I'm going to take over"? No. This is in writing. I've read it in a book, a big book that loaned me Sister Vonda Marler. And he literally took and went to the very bottom. He started at the lowest position that bank had, and he started there and started climbing up one position at a time. And when he got to the top, he had the admiration of all those employees that worked there. And when he stepped in position to run the bank, they all admired him, appreciated him, and said, "We will work for thee." He done it right. He done what God would have do. Now, I don't know if he's a saved man particularly, but the bottom line is, he done it the right way. Jesus went to the bottom. And listen, when he come up, he had everything he needed. Listen, folks. He said, "Go to the lowest spot, and then they'll bring you up. Let the Lord exalt you. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." Now then, some of us here live in tornado country. Tornadoes can come very quickly, catch people totally off guard. Now then, they have these. There's more videos of tornadoes now than there's ever been in my life. They have spotters and watchers and all these things, and they go out and they spend hours watching the storm systems and where it can be, and they're in contact with offices and so forth, and they're letting it be known, this could do this or this could do that. I'm watching this, I'm here, I'm there, and so forth. Well, when the warning goes out that there is one, what do they tell you to do? They tell you to go to the upstairs of a two-story house and sit there and watch television, so to speak, or drink a soda and eat chips and popcorn? No. I looked it up to be sure I was right on this before I preach this. He said there, they tell you to go to the lowest place in the house. Now, that could be the lower floor, or it could be the basement, or you can go outside to the storm shelter. Now, the best place, in my opinion, especially after what happened to Joplin several years ago, after that, it said a number of people went down in their basement and the house just come in on top of them. I told Becky, I said, "That ain't so wise. I always thought a basement would be a pretty good place to have if you had a tornado come." I said, "I ain't sure about that now. Get you a tornado shelter. Get something that'll put you down underground, praise God. Get you down there in a low spot." And why do they do that? For your protection. Amen. And for your protection. I'm going to tell you, them things will rip you all to pieces. I've seen pictures of devastation that looked like bombs had gone off and there was rubble everywhere. I've seen it where they said it absolutely just took the concrete slabs up off the ground and destroyed them. They were nothing left but plowed fields. Folks, that's powerful. That's powerful. So if you're going to deal with something powerful, you better deal with it right. You better get in a low spot. They even say if you're outside and you ain't got no place to go to get out in a ditch, get low, see? Get down below. Flying debris. They carry lots of flying debris in the big old things when they're whirling and going. They've got a lot of debris flying with them. Get in a low spot for your protection. Now then, spiritually speaking, a low spot's for your protection again. You want to get on down low. All right, let's go to Ephesians 4. Back to Ephesians. Four and one of Ephesians said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now then, if you and I are going to get anywhere with God, we've got to get low. Amen? How many of us riding? Brother Hargrave made a statement one time. He said some people come down the altar seeking things and they come down riding in a chariot and get out. He said they ought to just slither up like a snake. In other words, get down there. Get on down, child. Get down. Oh, tonight, if you and I are going to get salvation, sanctification, if we're going to have be baptized, we're going to have to get down low. We're going to have to see where we're at. We're going to have to be willing to get down there. As the Lord begins to deal, there have been people that bucked it and fought against it down through the years. But the bottom line, they had to meet it, and there was no way out but to get on down there. One man one time in Kentucky, many, many years ago, he had done something, and he'd come to the altar, and he would pray, and he'd pray, and he'd pray, and he'd pray up to that thing, and he'd get up and he'd go back. He'd done this several nights. And then after, I don't know, 4 or 5 nights, he said he got to praying up in the morning. They were in the Kentucky hills there. They had tents out there at this revival meeting, camp meeting, whatever it was. And he was out there praying. And finally, he got to the place. He said what he had done is he had stole money from a company. And he knew that if he got saved, he'd have to confess it. And he feared the pen. He knew he'd go to prison for the rest of his life, maybe. And he feared that. I could see his point. But the bottom line was, folks, he had to get down. He couldn't stop. This time he went. And he just kept sinking. Till finally he got down to the point. And the power of God hit him. Directed, delivered him. Saved him to the uttermost. And they said he came out of that tent shouting, waking people up at night, praise God. Because he finally got what he wanted. But he had to get low enough to get it, praise God. Callings. Sometimes people, and really in a sense, I like to see somebody that's being called hesitate and pray. Wait on the Lord. Don't get in no big hurry to get in the pulpit, or don't get in no big hurry to teach or whatever, or go over to Africa or China or whatever. I think it's wise to hold back. But at the same time, you're going to have to just get on down there. Just get on down there. Get low. Get on down. Our callings, our gifts. Listen, folks, tonight, there is people that have attitudes that need to be dealt with. And those attitudes, sometimes they plague people for years. They followed them and went with them over and over and over. The Hatfields and McCoys. I know you probably heard about this. Probably think, well, that's just old Kentucky Wisefell. No, it's an actual story, and it's true. Them people killed one another for years because of something that happened way back there, and they flat outlived all of that, and they were still shooting one another because of attitudes. He killed me and I killed him, and I don't like this and I don't like that one. Listen, folks, attitudes are dangerous and they're murderous. They can kill people. So we got to get out low. People say, well, I didn't do it. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. If the Lord says you got to do it, you got to do it. You got to get down there to get it. Get on down low. Doctrine. Sometimes people have trouble accepting doctrine. They said, no, I just can't accept that. Been around a while. I didn't show up yesterday. I've seen a lot of things in my days, and in some of that things, I've seen people that's come out to tent meetings and maybe revival meetings, and they make the statement, this is exactly what I'm looking for. I've looked at this for years. I've been here and I've been there and I've done this and I've done that. And the bottom line, praise God, this is it. And they'll come and they'll join up. And then they'll meet up a doctrine, they'll cross that doctrine, they'll turn around and walk away. They're not willing to get on down there. They're not willing to get down in their attitudes and their mindset that maybe this could be right. They think they're right no matter what. I've dealt with some that way. I've dealt with them. I've talked sometimes 2 and 3 hours. I've come home almost in tears, totally worn out, and mostly dealing with some of this stuff. And it wouldn't change them a bit. No matter how many scriptures you give them, no matter how many ways we went, it still was the same thing. Their mindset was, my doctrine's right and yours wrong, and I ain't going to change, period. Lord help us. All right, I'm going to get a little close here. So you love me, pray for me, and maybe I'll be back in the fall. All right, dress. Oh, now, Brother Carl, get off a dress. This is something that can give people a lot of problem right here. Because they don't want to dress modest. They don't want to put on the long sleeves or the skirts or whatever. They don't want to cut their hair for the men, or the women don't want to grow their hair out long, or whatever it might be. They don't want to do that. The bottom line is, folks, we're going to have to get out there and let the Lord teach us. We're going to have to get low before Him and say, Lord, how do You want me to look? Listen, when Jesus come down, or not Jesus, but God, come down in the garden, how was Adam and Eve dressed that one time? They had sewed them fig leaves together, wasn't it? And they presented themselves, and did the Lord accept that? No. He said, well, I don't know what He said, but He went and made them coats of, or clothes of fur, or coats, however it says it. And the bottom line was, He wasn't happy with the way they had done. Listen, folks, is the Lord happy with what we're doing? The way we're dressing? The way we're acting or whatever? Another touchy thing is divine healing. People say, I don't have to trust God. My advice to you is to get low. Just get on down there. Say, Lord, what do You want me to do? That's the bottom line, saints, tonight. And I'm not picking. I'm not throwing stone. I'm just laying out the Bible tonight that if you and I are going to please God, if we're going to make Him happy, if we're going to be where we ought to be with Him, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Listen, folks, tonight, if we're going to see Him, have real fellowship with Him, get to the heights that we want to get to, we're going to have to be what He wants us to be. And to do that, you're going to have to get on down low. Get down just exactly where He wants you to get. And when you do that, then you'll be blessed. Another thing is our leadings. Our leadings. Brother Murphy Allen one time, many years ago, I heard this story. Brother Leslie, or one of the old timers, told me. He was in a revival meeting in a certain place, I don't know where. And the Lord told him, said, I want you to go down and preach on the street corner. And Brother Murphy said, I don't have nobody to go with me. He said, that's fine. I want you to go anyway. Well, him and the Lord talked about it for a little bit. Brother Murphy rose and he went on down. He done what he was supposed to do. He had to get down low. Listen, folks, to see the depths of the grace and the power of God, we got to get low to get there. You're not going to see it if you don't. Listen, if he had stayed at the chapel, he wouldn't have seen what God could have done on a street corner with nobody down there. But because he was willing to get on down, because he was willing to say, Lord, Thy will be done. Listen, folks, tonight, the greatest thing you can do in being led by the Spirit is being totally low and submerged in the things of God. Just be surrendered. Surrendered. Totally. Well, it says here now, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. There's a lot of vocations out there. One of the highest, I guess you could say, one of the highest vocations in this land is being the President of the United States. That's pretty high. I wouldn't want it. Couldn't give it to me. But one of the greatest vocations you and I can have is living for God. I'm not saying preaching, teaching. I'm just saying living, outright living for God. Living the way the Lord would have you to live, above sin, walking on the highway of holiness, doing the things you ought to do. That's one of the greatest vocations we can have right there. So He's saying here, it said that you walk worthy. Listen, are we walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called? Listen, that calling is a high calling tonight. It's not just any calling. It's the greatest calling in the land that you tonight have the plan of salvation, that you're saved, redeemed, and everything that you've got tonight from God, it's come because He gave you a call. And another call, and another call, and He's put you in a place where you're at. You and I didn't do it by ourselves. If we're going to heaven, it's going to take God to get us there. It's going to take the Lord to do it. And oh, tonight, so we've got the calling. Then it said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Whoo! That's pretty low, folks. Some people are not very meek, and some people are definitely not very long-suffering, and some people are not forbearing much at all. One old sister, minister's wife, loved my wife real dearly. She sent us an engagement card after we got engaged. She said, I want to talk to you about two bears. that you need to take in your marriage. Said you want to take bear and forebear. Take those two bears with you, Rebecca Ann, and they will bless you. And they did. Listen, folks, tonight, you and I are going to have to come to the place of forbearing one another in some things, praise God. Sometimes we want to just cut somebody off or just let them know this is it and this is that. Listen, folks, we need to bear and then forbear. Get on down a little bit lower and be willing to allow. Be willing to let the Lord work. Listen, folks, tonight, I believe one of the greatest mistakes we as a church of God make is trying to line people up when God ought to do it. Oh, now watch out, Brother Carl. No. I've said this for years and I'm still going to say it. We tend to tell people you need to do this and you need to do that. And I know for a fact people have walked away and never come back. Oh, Lord, help us. I don't want to be harsh or critical. Lord, help us here. But the bottom line is, it's the truth anyway. We lost a minister temporarily that was the pastor of this congregation because somebody offended him at Monarch the first time he come there many years ago because he had an article of dress on and they said, you can't be a preacher dressed like that. Something like that. And he walked away. And he stayed away. But bless God, God wouldn't let him stay away. And he got on down low enough and the Lord brought him back. If he hadn't, you all might not have had him for, you probably wouldn't have had him for a pastor. This had been a number of years ago and I ain't going to name no names. But the bottom line is, it happens over and over that we tend to think we need to line up and straighten people out. I know of a situation where somebody came to the altar one night many, many years ago in the state of Kentucky and they were down there praying and after they prayed through, then the preacher told them, said, you need to take this off and this off and this off and this off and this off, the rings off, the necklace off, whatever they had on, you need to get it all off. They got up, walked down, they never come back. Lord, help us. Oh, I hope you love me after I get through tonight. You going to forbear with me a little bit? I love you. I wouldn't preach this kind of thing, but I got news for you. This ain't easy. This ain't easy. All right, let's go to forbearing one another in love. Oh, Lord, help us. One of the greatest things that we as a body needs is love tonight. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One of the greatest things we need is the unity of the Spirit. Unity brings power, and power brings results. And listen, folks, tonight, you and I need to be unified, heart to heart, mind to mind, as much as we can. And we can do that. We can have some blessings, praise God. The Lord will shower some things down on you and I if we're willing to get out there low enough to keep the unity of the Spirit. Well, you just don't understand. Well, do you understand? Let the Lord work. You and I, let the Lord do some things. All right, let's go to Philippians 2 and 1. Philippians 2 and 1. That clock's moving. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, of any comfort of love, of any fellowship of the Spirit, of any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, Lord, help us. Then it said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Woo! Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better. It's getting us on down there, folks. Sometimes we think that we're a little bit better. I'm of this family, or I'm of that family. I've got this family tree, and you're not of that family tree. I got so many among the church, and blah, blah, blah. The bottom line is this, folks. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's all I am. You and I don't have anything without Him. So consequently tonight, we need to. When you and I come to a place, we need to get low to work out problems. Anybody ever had any problems you had to deal with another person at? Ever had any trouble in the congregation? If you hadn't, I want to talk to you. Been there and seen that many times. that there's been problems cropped up that had to be dealt with. It can crop up on the job sometimes. And you can be doing everything you can do. And things will happen and you're going to have to deal with them. And to do them right, you're going to have to get down there real low. Neighbors. You ever had any problems with neighbors? Now this is the South. And it's a warm and loving deal, Brother Carl. We don't have no problems with neighbors down here. Good. Praise God. But you might. And the way to take care of that, just get on down there. Get down low. Esteem each other higher than themselves. Listen, folks, tonight. We need to exalt people, so to speak, and say, Lord, they're Your child. And in unsaved people, I don't mean that. But I'm talking about, a congregation right here. Just lift them up in your mind. What about business people? You ever had any problems with business people? What about in our families? I'm talking about brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, and so forth. Mothers, dads. You ever had any problems in your families that you had to deal with, you had to work with? Lowliness of mind now. Let each other esteem other better than themselves. Let us just get on down there in our mind and say, Lord, help me. What about with our own children? Have any of you parents ever humbled yourselves to your children? Have you ever said, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done it that way. If you hadn't, you need to. You need to get on down there. Your children cannot have high confidence in you. If they see you up high and them down low, they need to see the life of Christ in you. And to do that, He went low and you got to get down there low too. You're going to have to say, I'm sorry, sweetheart, or darling, what a little daughter. And sir, I didn't quite do that right. I didn't say that right. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have chastised you like I did off the information. Somebody else had found out later it was wrong. And then you're in real trouble. Know of a minister has one of the highest reputations in the whole area where he lived. He had 12 children. The only negative thing I heard about that man in the years I lived and pastored that congregation was one thing. And that was somebody got upset at him because he didn't handle a child right. Had 12 of them, folks. I don't know how many they had, but Lord, help us. That's a lot of children, and you're going to make some mistakes once in a while. And they was holding him because he didn't do it right somehow. I don't know the details on it, but the bottom line was, listen, esteem him. Give him room for some mistakes. And he needs to get on down there, and I guess he did. I don't know. I know that his family loves him dearly. Or dead. I mean, he's dead. He's been dead. I never met him. He died before I went to the place in 1978 for the first time. He died in April or May. No, March or April. I showed up in June. And he had a high reputation, but that's the only thing anybody felt faulted him for. All right. Husbands and wives. Had nearly 30 years in this before she went to heaven. Brethren, cleaning a house one time, two of us, had a doctor come in. He owned the house, him and his wife. He was a very arrogant man. He done surgery on my dad. And my mother hated him. Did not like this man. He was so arrogant, he just turned her off, so to speak. Turned her the wrong way. And so he come in, he had green scrubs on. Evidently been in surgery that morning. This was up in the morning, I don't remember what time, maybe early afternoon, might have been after lunch. And we were there cleaning, we were just about ready to go, and he comes in. And me and my big mouth goes, "You look like a doctor!" He goes, "I am a doctor!" I'm not kidding you not. He raised up and come down, and he said, "I am a doctor!" And the two of us had a hard time controlling our laughter till we could get outside and bust it up real good. Listen, folks, there's too many husbands through the world. And I'm not saying totally among the saints, but it's something that can creep in. The bottom line is, too many people want to go, I am a husband. Lord, help us, husbands. Lord, help us to be willing to get out and say, sweetheart, I shouldn't have said that. Sweetheart, I didn't handle that right. Sweetheart this and sweetheart that. Just get on down there. One minister said he thought that he was to be this and be that. And he found out pretty quick after he got married to his sweetheart that they had to kneel at the couch and they had to pray it through right there. And he said, folks, I had to humble down to the bottom. Get on down there. Husbands, get on down there where the Lord requires you to be. You cannot be the head of the house, and just like Christ is the head of the church, unless you follow His example. His example's low. Get on down there, children. Get on down there, husband. Oh, Lord, help me tonight. Get on down there. Get on down there where you need to be. Wives, oh, now watch out now. One time there was a wife. Her husband's dead now. I've known them most of my saved life. So that's about 45 years. Oh, 47. I've been saved 46 years. No, not quite 46 years. It'll be 46 this fall. Anyway, I saw her somewhere. I'm not going to tell work. I'll give away where we were at. But happened to be, and I was the pastor there at that time, and she said, what do you do, Brother Carl, when you're right and he's wrong? I said, what does the Bible say? She goes, I know what the Bible says. But says, I'm right and he's wrong. I said, now wait a minute. What does the Bible say, sister? She goes, I know, Brother Carl. Yeah, I know what it says. But I'm right and he's wrong. I said, I wouldn't back up. She wouldn't either. I said, what does the Bible say? I know what it says, Brother Carl. But I'm right and he's wrong. She wasn't willing to get out. She felt like she was right, and she was going to contend for that. She even made a statement in the presence of my wife one time, well, before Rebecca and I was even going together. This happened back, a good while before we married, a little while before we married, maybe put it that way. Anyway, she made a statement one night. She said, because of that, you're going to the doghouse tonight. Rebecca said, that sister did say the next day, I had to repent on that one. Listen, sisters, I know the Bible says that the wives should be subjected to their own husbands and so forth. You have some rights. You're not a doormat for any man, any husband. But the bottom line is, the Bible does tell you sometimes you're going to have to get out and be in subjection unto your husband. You're going to have to let them be right. Let them lead. You might think you're right. You might think, well, I'm right on this. Rebecca thought she was right a few times too, and I found out she was. I had to get on down there and say, yeah, dear, let's do it this way. But the bottom line is, there was times that she was wrong and I was right. And she had to just humble on down, said, yes, dear. I love you all. I love you. This ain't no fun preaching, Brother Michael. The bottom line is, the type of marriages that you want to have with power. Where's that scripture? Give me that scripture where it talks about that your prayers be not hindered. Talking about husbands and wives. It talks about, I didn't even think about that one. And be not hindered. All right, now then, let's get to the congregation. A little bit more. Things happen within a congregation that can cause problems. And the devil always wants to get in the mix. He always wants to escalate, make a mountain out of a molehill, any type of problem that shows up in the congregation. And so consequently, it can be ever so minor, the time the devil gets through with it, it gets pretty big. But the way to deal with that, he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, I want Romans 12 and 16. Romans 12 and 16 is another that will go along with that thought right there. It said, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Be not wise in your own conceit. Lord, help us tonight. Do not think too highly of yourselves. Don't think you know it all. Woo! Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Set not your mind on high things, but condescend to things that are lowly. Do not be too ambitious, but accept humble tasks. Do not let your thoughts be high flown, but accommodate yourselves to humble ways. Do not aspire to eminence, but willingly adjust yourselves to humble situations. Instead of being ambitious, associate with humble folks. Don't become snobbish, but take a real interest in ordinary people. Avoid being haughty. Mingle with the lowly. Lord, help us tonight. The man in Corinthians that got in trouble, and Paul and they had to deal with, there's a scripture in there that talks about, you need to forgive him. Let him know you forgive him and show him love, lest the enemy take advantage of it. Tonight, the devil wants to take advantage of any problem, any situation. Listen, saints, the quicker that you can get things settled between you, the better, because the longer it goes, the more the devil works. So consequently, listen, saints, we need to let people know that you're forgiven. We need to let people know that we love them. We need to let them people know that we're behind them. We need to let them people know that, listen, we don't want you going anywhere. We want you right here. You can come sit right on the front bench, and I'll love you anyway. You can come sit on the front bench, and I'll work with you and help you. Listen, folks, tonight, there is people that has gotten very discouraged and walked away. I was told, I've never asked the brother this, but I was told that somebody told one man, said, you need to leave and never come back, and he did. He's never come back. He'll come to a funeral, he'll come to a wedding or something like that, but I don't think he's been in one service in that congregation since he left. They told him, listen, folks, we don't have that kind of power. There's only one man that can put you and I out of the church of God, and that's Christ. And if you and I commit sin, that's our death sentence right there. And if we continue on and we don't get the help, we don't humble, if we don't get down low and get what we need, it's going to do us damage and do it quickly. But the bottom line is, you don't have the power to put somebody else out. All right, Brother Michael, you got that scripture, please. All right, 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, your husbands dwell with them according to knowledge. Likewise, your humble... I can read... Likewise, you're humble. I said humble so much tonight. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge.
Giving honor unto the wife.
Honor, husbands, honor unto the wife. As unto the weaker vessel.
As being heirs together of the grace of life.
That your prayers be not hindered. Listen, saints. Let me talk from experience. Once she's gone or he's gone, they're gone and you cannot bring them back. And there's going to be times that you might think of something. There have been many times I want to say, thank you, Rebecca Ann, and I couldn't thank her. She was gone. Thank you for this or thank you for that or I wish I'd have done this. And I haven't just beat myself with this, don't get me wrong. But the bottom line is, you need to lift them, back them, encourage them, strengthen them. Listen, folks, you want your prayers to go through. You want your prayers to have power. You want your prayers to have results. And so consequently, do it by the Bible. And doing this, you got to get down low. And if we'll do that, the Lord will bless us and help us. All right, let's finish up. Let's go to Psalms 138 and 6. Psalms 138 and 6. Now this is the positive side. Remember the tornado? I said that if you got down low, it was for your protection. Spiritually, getting down low is your protection. Getting down under the hand of God is the greatest place you and I can ever be. There ain't no place any better than right there.
And it says here in 138 of Psalms in the 6th verse, it said, though the Lord be high, yet He hath respect unto the lowly. But the proud He knoweth afar off. Proverbs 3 and 34. Proverbs 3 and 34 says this. It says, surely He scorneth the scorners, but He giveth grace unto the lowly. Listen tonight, there's only one person that has the power and the position to scorn anybody, and that's God or Christ. You and I do not have that. We're not anybody. You and I are a mortal. You and I are dirt, so to speak. If you burned us to ashes, we wouldn't even be worth about a dollar. Some people think they're worth $1 million and ain't got much anyway. And so consequently, the greatest thing you can do is get out under God and let Him work. He said when He was reviled, He reviled not again. When He was... When He reviled, He reviled not again. Help me here, bro. Huh? When He suffered, He threatened not. Yes, when He suffered, He threatened not. Listen, folks, use Him as an example. He got down low. He finished up low. But then He ascended. One more spot. Philippians, I believe, is where I want. Let me see here. I was reading this one time, and it dawned on me something I had never seen in these scriptures. All right, back to Philippians 2 again, where it said, being made in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Why did the Lord do that? Why did God do that? Because He got down. Because He got low. Because He was willing to do what He needed to do for you and I. And so consequently, when He done that, when He went through the whole thing, when He got down at the end, when He said, it is finished, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and He gave up the Spirit, so to speak, then God highly exalted Him. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And things of heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen, folks, tonight. You may think I don't have to get down low. You may think I'm doing it just right. You may think all kind of things. But there will be one person that you bow before one day. There'll be one person that you confess to one day. We will not get out of it. Listen, if you need help here spiritually tonight, one day, you may be riding high now. One person told me, said, oh, Carl, said, I thought I had the world by the tail. And his world was crumbling real fast about that time. He could have died that night. The Lord had mercy on him. He thought he had the world by the tail, and some people think that. But when you get at the end of every man's life is God, it is His eternity, it is Him that you're going to deal with, and so consequently when He gets through, you're going to bow, you're going to confess. If you don't do anything else here, you will do it one day. It's time to stand and pray. I appreciate your time and attention, your prayers tonight. Pray for me.